Wild Talk Radio Network.
But tonight, a challenge to celebrate the fallen suns on the Day of the Dead.
A challenge to any souls brave enough to come face to face with my monsters.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is TNA Superstar EC3. It's me, DDP.
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett.
This is Pat Patterson.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rap, and you're listening to the greatest rap.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Face the fear? Forget that. I am the man without fear. I slay the dragons. I exorcise the demons. I smash the zombies. I destroy all the monsters. That's what I do around here.
With your host,
Halloween is no fun if you don't get to scare people. But I'm not one for giving up. Tonight, somebody is getting scared.
Oh. Lindsay Ward.
These are not costumes. Evil is very real.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
I was never allowed to dress up for Halloween. I was told it was too sinful.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
All you have to do is boo, leave.
We're here.
Everyone, welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. Y'all, it is our Halloween spooktacular. That's right, if you celebrate it, Halloween is on Sunday. And we are here to do some spooky shenanigans here tonight. I am your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer, /co-host/handyman, Sir Rockin.
It's some Halloween funk.
This doesn't seem very Halloween. I'm going to be real. Also, I was crying at the beginning because it's been so long since I've heard his voice.
I mean,
my prey!
I mean, 1 hour, 54 minutes, and change, apparently.
Someone's free.
Someone's free.
Finally, he can unleash himself upon the world. Been the longest fucking 90 days ever, I swear to God.
At Wild Talk Radio, at Rock Radio Show, at Lindsay Ward, join us live at wildtalkradio.com, twitch.tv/WGLive, and rockradioshow.com. I mean, it's Halloween fun. Come on now. It's scary.
There's nothing Halloween about this.
I mean, it's funk.
It's funk, but it's not Halloween.
I don't want overdramatic music. That's so fun.
It's Halloween. When can we not be overdramatic?
Lindsay, there are slim pickings when it comes to royalty-free Halloween music.
I'm going to send you a site.
It gets better. It gets more Halloween as we go. That was just for an upbeat opener.
Apparently we get spookier as it goes, chat.
I'm apprehensive at best, and that's the name of the next song, so we'll see.
I don't like those odds.
The other two are called Skeleton Carnival and Bloody Pumpkin.
Okay, that's at least encouraging. So, we have a lot to talk about on this show tonight. There is a huge story in wrestling that broke yesterday. We will be discussing it. We're going to talk about it at the end of the news, just because there is a lot to get into. So, we're going to kind of go through all the rest of the news relatively quickly before we go there, just so that way we can fill you guys in, because last week, you know, we were doing Crown Jewel, so we have some stuff we have to catch up on. So I say we don't waste any more time and we jump right into news, brought to you by our friends over at mbgfilms.com/mbg1211.
Also, there's football on. And Packers, there's football. Packers just made a play. Anyway, let's go. News, MBG Films, let's go. We got
WWE and Mattel have extended their partnership, so congratulations to them.
It's a new multi-year deal between the two parties, so all your action figures and everything like that, accessories and toy belts, it's all going to be continuing for another few years. It's a multi-year deal. That's all they're really saying about it, which means, hey, things are working good between all of us. Let's continue.
I mean, I think since Mattel has had the license, they've done a really wonderful job with it, so yeah, they should continue it.
Yeah,
Why not?
I mean, they've made some really great figures. I know there's a lot of issues and whatnot sometimes with some of the stuff they do, but for the most part, it's been a very successful launch.
Yeah, very, very successful. So, moving on from that, the 2022 pay-per-view schedule has been released. There have been some interesting things of note on there, including, I'm excited for this, SummerSlam is going to be in Nashville. Y'all, I may have to go.
It's going to be at Nissan Stadium, the home of the Titans, on July 30th, a Saturday. Other things including, I like this. She's willing to go to Nashville, not day one in Atlanta. Just putting that out there. Easier drive.
Actually, it kind of is.
What, Nashville?
Yeah.
Okay. The Royal Rumble will be at the Dome at the America Center in St. Louis, as mentioned, on a Saturday, January 29th. April 2nd and 3rd will be WrestleMania in Dallas at AT&T Stadium. So that's two stadium shows right there, including the national one. That's three. We have a pay-per-view to be determined at the Dunkin' Donuts Center in Providence, Rhode Island on May 8th. June 5th will be a pay-per-view at the Allstate Arena in Chicago. July 30th, we mentioned SummerSlam. July 2nd will be Money in the Bank in Vegas at a stadium. And either September 3rd or September 4th will be a pay-per-view to be determined. Europe. London. And then Survivor Series on Saturday, November 26th. Things of note about this, it means takeovers are probably not a thing unless they put them on a Sunday. And they really like their Saturday pay-per-views, which means the Rack Extra Reviews is coming to Saturdays.
Yep.
This next fall. And winter and whatever and whatever. It's not bad. I get it. Especially when they do the stadium shows, it makes sense. So there's that.
There is that. So it's interesting they're moving to Saturdays, as of note. Like, just, they're kind of getting away from Sundays, which I can appreciate, simply because, you know, there's less competition with college football, although not really, versus NFL.
It's also, it's a travel thing.
If
you're running big stadiums on a Saturday, it's easier. People can fly in and leave on the Sunday rather than fly out on a Monday.
Yep, that too. But, so we'll see. We'll see how this goes. Very curious about the schedule so far. Moving on from that, Bianca Belair was named number one in the PWI Women's 150, so congratulations to her. Definitely well-deserved.
Very well-deserved. Had one of the best years of this past year.
And she's continuing to have a good year.
Yes, she is.
As she continues to climb. Corey Graves and Carmella are officially engaged after being together for
several years.
So congratulations to them. There is no date obviously announced. Tribute to the Troops will be on Fox on 11/14. So check your local listings because there are no times announced for that.
It's going to be one of those, hey, did you have the early game on Fox? Then you're going to get Tribute to the Troops. If you have the late game, it'll be on before.
Woo-hoo.
That's one of them. It's depending on your station type of thing. And it'll be on the network probably afterwards.
Yeah. So just keep an eye on it. SmackDown will be on FS1 tomorrow due to, you know, the World Series. Go Braves. Woo! So there's that.
Yeah. Go Braves. Go.
Go Braves. Go.
Touchdown Packers. Flag. Touchdown Packers. Flag. There's a flag on the field. Anytime there's a successful play on the field, just look for a flag.
Yay. Football referees. So much fun. Panini and WWE ink a deal for trading cards and collectibles. So that's fun. Keep an eye out for that. And then Trish Stratus is scheduled to be a judge on Canada's Got Talent.
I don't know how you got Canada. It's written in Canada.
Because that's how I say
Canada, all the Canada.
All the Canadia.
She's gonna be judging all the Canadia talent on Canada's Got Talent. Judging,
yep, all the Canada. Totally, all the Canada all talent. Canada's Got Talent.
Canada's Got Talent. No, that's cool. She's a judge on Canada's Got Talent. That's cool.
Don't look at me, chat. Don't judge me. Moving on to the AEW news.
We're
the Go
all
Big Show
judging.
Will be returning.
She's just talking over me. We're all judging you.
Shut up. The Go Big Show will return January 6th with Hollywood. I mean, with Cody Rhodes. Ding.
Yeah, it'll be on the Thursday after Dynamite moves to TBS on January 5th.
I understand. I do not watch AEW, but yes. I just need to make this comment. Please just embrace the fact that the crowd hates Cody. Just run with it.
He will not turn.
Just go with it.
He's trying to be John Cena.
And you know what? I think we all would have agreed that they should have turned John Cena because they tried to John Cena Roman Reigns. They did it for years and they finally turned Roman heel, and it's the best thing they've done for Roman in like forever. So I'm just saying that, you know, if there's natural disdain there, maybe you should just go with it. That's all I'm saying.
That's all you're saying?
That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Moving on, congratulations to Tony Nese. He's officially signed with AEW, and he has been appearing on the shows as of lately.
He's the hottest free agent, according to them.
There's a lot of those lately.
There's going to be more here soon.
In less than an hour, or actually a little bit over an hour. There's going to be one more that's coming on the market.
An hour and 44 minutes and 40-something seconds. According to this mysterious clock on our screen.
The countdown to Wyndham.
Hmm.
Hmm. Impact Wrestling announced that Hard to Kill will be on January 8th.
All right. Cool. The next pay-per-view will be in Dallas, Texas. So they went to move. They did a show in Vegas. They're doing tapings in Vegas next month. And then they're headed to Dallas. That's cool.
That is cool.
They're on the road. They're making moves. They're doing things.
They're on the up and up.
You want to do the injuries?
Yeah, let's go ahead and do the blame breaths.
Bones breaking. Backs cracking. Shoulders snapping. It's this week's injury roundup.
So Kota Ibushi has a dislocated right shoulder. Hopefully he recovers very quickly.
# blame Brent.
He should be out a couple of months from action.
Yeah, that's never a good thing to have, and it's usually very painful. So like I said, best of luck. Hope he recovers soon.
Yeah. Hopefully.
And with that, now we're going to talk about the big story of the week, which is... I'm going to be real. This is a huge blow to the wrestling community on the whole. You never, ever like to see this happen. And with any hope, they will recover similar to what Impact did. Because Impact was in this position. And they've been able to kind of sort of salvage the situation and come back stronger. But I don't get that general feeling.
So, go ahead.
Let me say it. So it got announced this week that effective 1/1/2022, ROH will be going on hiatus.
So before you can, I was going to read their statement, if you didn't mind.
Well, let me.
Go ahead. Go.
They're ceasing operations. Okay, go.
I want to read their statement before we get into anything. Throughout the pandemic, our top priority was to keep everyone healthy and safe. And despite not producing any live events over 18 months, we were able to keep everyone fully contracted. We now find ourselves at a time where we need to make changes to our business operations and planning a pivot for Ring of Honor with a new mission and strategy. This year will culminate with a final battle fitting in December, and we take in the first quarter of 2022 to work internally to reimagine ROH. ROH has the most dedicated fans in the industry, and we appreciate their loyalty and patience, and we reconceptualize ROH. We anticipate returning to live events in April for the Supercard of Honor with a new fan-focused product and provide a unique experience for wrestling fans. Go.
Like I said, this is a huge blow. They've also released all of their contracts as of December 31st, 2021. Anybody who had a contract beyond that date will continue to get paid for a while, but anybody's deal who is already up or ends this year, they're done. They're out. But that just means that the talent can start working wherever they want.
As of now,
as opposed to making them wait to the end of the year. So that's very cool of them to do. Should be noted, that's kind of interesting, something that came out today it may or may not be true, is that the ROH library under Sinclair, not the full library, but the library under Sinclair, is potentially for sale. that's never a good sign. Although Impact kind of did the same thing. They sold their library, and I think WWE ended up buying it, didn't they?
Who, Impact?
Yeah.
No, with
Impact. Or they leased it.
No, Impact sold their library to the Fight Network.
That's right.
Who would ultimately become the new owners of Impact Wrestling.
That's right. Okay, yeah.
So that was their first step of, hey, let's begin our, you know, put the foot in the door and, hey, let's see what we can do. The only date to a couple other things. The only dates that the talent have to work are the upcoming TV tapings in November and then the final battle show. Those are their only contractual obligated appearances. Every other contract will not be renewed, as Lindsay mentioned, at the end of the year.
Yeah.
There are some contracts, because I get the way I perceived it was, a lot of their contracts have rollover points at the beginning and end of every year. Those that are not, those that were signed afterwards and don't have those rollovers, will be paid until March 31st, supposedly.
We'll see, though. I mean, if they said they're going to honor it, I'm sure they will honor it. So the first thing that I want to say is that there really is no blame to be passed around. There's been a lot of really mixed emotions about this. People have been indifferent. People have been upset. The talent have posted a lot of thank yous and farewells. Some people are angry. Obviously, they don't understand what's going on. I don't think anybody knows really what's going on. But a lot of people, I think, are trying to place blame right now, which is completely natural and normal. That's what happens. But really, there is no one to blame in this. This is something that Sinclair made the decision. You know, they didn't fire anybody at the beginning of the pandemic. They continued to pay out contracts. Sinclair has made a series of really bad investments. And also, Sinclair got hacked by ransomware. And it's more than likely that they paid the ransom, whatever amount that was, because they were back up and running within a few days. And trust me when I tell you, that's not normal if you don't pay.
And it's a very expensive paycheck. They've also had deals with where they bought, in 2019, they bought a lot of RSN networks, which are regional sports networks, for those curious. And they had a deal with the MLB in regards to that. And that's not working out so well. There's a whole bit where networks, the RSNs had to pay back fees to their to subscribers for not airing games during the pandemic. And based on the information I've read, they did not break even.
No, they're in quite a bit of debt because of that. And Sinclair is in a little bit of trouble right now financially. And so I think what this stems from is they're looking at their balance sheet and they're starting to cut things that really can be cut in order to start to save the company money and keep the company afloat. And so unfortunately, ROH ended up on that list because ROH, while it held its own and while I think it could take care of itself, it never really turned a profit. And then when they had to shut down due to the pandemic and continue to pay out talent contracts for the better part of a year and a half, that got them into trouble. And what hurt more was when they started running shows again and they were running them in front of no crowds. They tried to make that work, but that's an expensive endeavor, especially when you're not making any money and you haven't been making any money. It's okay for WWE and AEW to do that kind of thing because they do have the TV contracts to keep them afloat. They also have other ventures that are helping to pay the bills. ROH isn't as lucky, and they don't have that sort of backup plan. They have the backing of Sinclair, but obviously only to a point. So I think, unfortunately, ROH just got cut purely for financial. There obviously is an intent to bring it back in some way, shape, or form for one-offs or independent shows, but the ROH, as we effectively know it, is gone.
It had a 19-plus year run as the third, fourth option in professional wrestling, so at one point number two. But it averaged around third and fourth, behind Impact for times, now behind AEW and Impact whatnot, because ROH strive to always be something. It provided some of you guys with the best wrestlers in the world, your Samoa Joes, your Daniel Bryans, your CM Punks along the way, everyone from the Bullet Club to AJ Styles and so on and so forth, have played a big role in Ring of Honor's history. And you look at what they had, a monumental impact, which has been great, but at some point, and they talked about it, Jim Koff talked about it, where they had a point in 2016, 2017, and then 2018 with the growth, because they were seeing growth with the Bullet Club and Cody Rhodes and everyone sort of, them being the genesis for everything, they were upping their production game because once they moved to Sinclair, they had to up their game production-wise because you're now being run by a TV network. You know, you have
TV
to
company,
up
yeah.
TV company. You have to up your game a little bit, and so that added on expenses that they weren't normally running. And ROH, which is production, is what it was, and they've had issues, but they've ramped up their lighting and everything like that over the years and made it more of a bigger presence. But that costs money. In the last year and a half that we've suffered through, I think they've run 3-4 shows with the crowd. When you are usually trying to break even or make a little bit of money to stay afloat, not running with a crowd kind of hurts your product. Because mm-hmm. you're paying out all the production and you're not covering the cost. As mentioned, AEW survived because they signed a TV deal in January of 2020 with TNT and an extension. That saved them. AEW wouldn't be here without a TV deal because they weren't making money. WWE has their billion-dollar TV deal. That's the reason they're still around. You mentioned how they're going to, what, they're going to come back? That's the plan?
They're coming back in some shape or form, yes.
Yeah, it's not going to be with the actual roster. I'm comparing it to what current day, what GCW has been for people, where they have a handful of talent, but they bring in all the stars that they can. Who's available?
Yeah, it's basically going to be pay-per-play, which makes sense, that you're not going to have the guaranteed money contracts anymore. It's purely you work for us, we pay you, which I can get behind that. I think that makes sense. That's unfortunate for the talent, but it's always difficult when you are paying guaranteed contracts and your talent isn't appearing. And that can be frustrating because it's like, well, you're essentially paying for something that you're not going to get. Because in part you can't due to the basically that you're shut down. So, you know, they can bring in, you know, if people don't get signed under exclusive contracts with other companies, they can bring some of their stars back to ROH, and I'm sure people would be happy to come back, but they're not going to put them under contract.
Nope.
They're not going to do anything like that, at least right now. Now, a year from now, let's look and see where they're at, if they're still around, if they're willing to go that route. But something tells me that for the foreseeable future, ROH is just not going to be doing any kind of guaranteed money contracts. It's going to be, like you said, similar to GCW. It's going to kind of go back to that more indie level look and feel and talent level that they had really in the beginning. And maybe that'll reinvigorate the promotion. I don't know. Ooh, that was a nasty hit. Ooh.
Both guys. Him right in the gut, and he just sort of, ooh.
Right in the knee.
Yeah, that was bad. They're going to, we'll see if it brings something back, because you're going to run out of the shit that would be. You can do your nostalgia shows, you bring back the talent, former ROH talent, you can run those type of shows, those one-offs, pay the talent. Hey, here's a ROH reunion show, or here's some of the best young talent on the indie scene. Ring of Honor was what NXT was, and what AEW is. The place for the best wrestling in the world. You have the best athletes wrestling. Not the biggest stars, but the best athletes wrestling. Best wrestlers in the world. AEW is sort of taking their spot, unfortunately. That's why NXT is what it is. It's a rebranded new thing. It's why you have to stand out and you need more than just wrestling to get over at this point. It sucks. But that's where we are right now.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree that their problem was always that they hit a point and they could never grow beyond that point. And they just, because at some point it's like people need more than just the pure wrestling. And that's where, you know, AEW kind of picked up where they left off and evolved the product again into what modern AEW is, where it is a blend of sports entertainment and pure wrestling. And it's just enough that it resonates and they've been able to grow it further. But kind of going back to the blame, people who are playing the blame game, there really is nobody to quote unquote blame unless without blaming ROH themselves, because a lot of the decisions are what led them to here. I mean, you can say that AEW took their talent, you can say that WWE took their talent, and to a certain extent that is correct, and there is, I guess, blame or whatever you want to call it there.
There's
but
indirect blame is the phrase I'm using. Indirect blame.
There's indirect blame, but it's like ROH didn't have enough or didn't do enough to keep those talents, or they didn't do enough to attract new talents. It's just there's a lot of blame going on there, and you can see how they were just that stepping stone for a lot of people to go to that next level where it's like they go to ROH, they get that name in ROH, they get the attention of one of the big companies, and then they get snapped up. Like that's what people were doing for a long time, is they go to Impact or they go to ROH and they make that name for themselves, and then they get the attention and then they get signed. That was the formula. That's how it worked, because a lot of the indie talents knew that WWE was looking at promotions like ROH in Japan and those kinds of places to sign talent. So you had a lot of people go there specifically for that reason in some cases, but ROH wasn't doing enough to prevent that from happening. So you had a lot of people come through, but you didn't have enough stay. And then they just could never grow it. And then the whole AEW situation happened, where basically AEW was born out of ROH.
It was.
And that's just... that was kind of one of the last nails in the coffin, so to speak.
It really was. It was, the way I phrase it, they kind of took the heart and soul of the company that was they were building with. And AEW went all in, and then they all went all out. And here we are.
And here we are.
That's sort of how that played out.
Yeah. So it sucks, and I'm sorry to see ROH, at least in this incarnation, gone, but hopefully they can bring it back. Hopefully it can resuscitate itself, and hopefully maybe it can begin to grow again. We'll have to see. But I'm sorry to the talent, to everybody that lost their jobs. That's terrible, awful. Well, especially right before the holidays. That's just, at least they're being paid through the end of the year.
Yeah, they're going to be paid for the holidays. One thing I want to mention is ROH was sort of ahead of the curve. I mean, we talk about WWE and their internet pay-per-views and whatnot. ROH took the bullet and they went all in on doing internet pay-per-views, like strictly internet pay-per-views for a while. It didn't always work, but they went all in on it.
I feel like ROH was like 5 years too early on it, though. Like, yeah. They absolutely took the ball and they ran with it, and they were ahead of their time in that regard, but...
Their streams never worked properly, but they tried.
They tried, but I mean, yeah, they were definitely ahead of the curve on that, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So, what can you do?
We'll see what happens next for Ring of Honor.
We'll see. So, good luck out there, guys.
It's going to be a hard market for some of these people. Just going to lay it out there.
It's going to be a hard market, but I've seen some people already saying that they're moving on and they're going to be at these shows and they're already getting bookings. So that's a positive sign that people are already just going out there and going for it. So just watch out for Twitter and see who's doing what and where they're going, because you never know. They might be coming to your town.
They'll be coming to your town. I was more talking about like your Impacts and your AEWs and WWEs. I don't know who can afford who at this point. We'll see. Or have spots for people. That's a better thing.
I was going to say, AEW is kind of like a critical mass in terms of signing anybody else. They're already not using all of their talent on television. Like, I know they supplement with Dark on YouTube, but you're already not using all of your talent, and then there's the potential that somebody else is coming in basically an hour and a half. But I don't think there's really room for him either, and I don't know if he wants to go or not. I mean, it's like, I feel like for a while, especially with the huge signings that they've had in Punk and Brian and Cole, AEW just needs to let it breathe, and they just need to work with what they have. Like, you don't need to bring anybody else in right now. They have a really stacked roster.
They do.
Like, you should be able to do everything that you want to do with who you have. You shouldn't need to bring anybody else in.
Oh, ROH, socially, if you're listening, I know you're not. You should pin your, tweet about the restructuring of your company to the top of your Twitter. Not make it like 18 pages. It scrolls down. Just want to bring them out.
We know a guy in their PR department.
We do. We do. We assume.
We knew a guy in their PR department.
We knew their PR department. Let's be real.
Yeah. Yeah. We knew him. He's a very nice man. We love you. But yeah, there's no word on the office staff. At this point, only the talent have been let go. There is no word on anybody in the office or anybody like that. It's assumed that they're still working, and they're probably going to work on the restructure. But I wouldn't be the least bit surprised, unfortunately, if some of those people get let go, too, because you don't need everybody.
Yeah, but you saw with WWE, they restructured.
Yeah, yeah, they did. They didn't need everybody.
No, they didn't. I was more talking about the office, not talent. Anyway.
So, and I was, too. Because I don't think everybody came back.
No, but they brought back someone, one of the big merch guys who handled their merch department. He was just brought back. Yeah.
Talent
was very happy.
I'm sure they were. Yeah, because their merch has not been wonderful lately, and also the fact that they fire sold off like all the old Bray Wyatt stuff that was supposed to get released when he was going to come back, like they publicly did that, was kind of shitty. Like, I'm sure Wyndham appreciates the paycheck.
Yeah, he probably appreciates all the royalties of everything that's still being sold.
But
it's probably a large check.
Well, I'm just going to say it, like transitioning out of ROH, it's really kind of shitty that, hey, we're going to fire you, but we're still going to make money off of you, especially when they dropped like a Funko Pop and they dropped bar stools and t-shirts and all this other merchandise that you saw lined up. So the fact that like that's what made Bray getting fired that much more bewildering was they had like stuff lined up for him to sell. And it sold. So it's like, okay, clearly the money portion of it was not the problem there. So what was the problem? And maybe in, you know, an hour and 20 minutes, we'll find out. But like, we're counting it down. We were 100% counting it down. But like, that was just really kind of a shitty move, because normally it's like when they fire somebody, they do sell the merch. They discount the existing merch that's on the page and they get rid of it. They don't ever release new merch for people. That's the thing. Like, anything else that, like, even if it's in production, they don't ever release it and sell it. They just kind of very quietly, I think, either stow it away in the
warehouse.
In the warehouse, or they just sort of like
it ends up in Africa somewhere.
Yeah, it gets fire sold off, something like that. You know, so the fact that they did that was a little shitty, because they did it to Bray, and I think they did it to Braun, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, Braun had a couple pieces of merch drop after, right, like the week after.
Yeah, so it wasn't a great move on their part, so if they have somebody who's a little bit better at that kind of stuff, wonderful. But that being said, I'm sure everybody appreciated the merch check.
Yeah, they all, I think, appreciate the merch check that is still going on for certain talents. Like, you still get the Bray Wyatt Herder heel pullover hoodie sweatshirt. It's on sale. Mm-hmm. It's on sale.
But with that, I say we do NXT.
Yeah.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
It was what they call Halloween Havoc. And boy, oh boy, did they do things.
They did some things on this show.
All right, you want to talk about the wrestling first, or you want to talk about the haunted house thing first?
I say we talk about the haunted house first, because what the fuck was going on there?
I don't even know how to describe what we saw. What did they call it? I forget.
It was Dexter's house.
Yeah, but there's like a thing they called it. I don't know. But they had to go and recover Mello's title. That was the whole idea. So that's what they do. So they roll up in this car to the house. And like, Mello's like, let's go. And Trick's like, nope, no. I'm not getting out of my car. No, you go. You go. And they end up finding a kid in the woods, and they go, oh, it's just a dead kid. They lift him up, and then he's alive.
Yeah, the best part was, wait, just a dead kid? What?
All while Johnny and Dexter in matching outfits are watching everything go on in the security room.
It was like Taker's mansion, but it's Dexter's house.
Yeah.
And Dexter has, like, it's basically a haunted house where he has all these ghouls and zombies and everything in the house. And Mello and company are being chased through the house.
Trick,
thank you, all around by all these ghouls and goblins until they finally find Johnny and Dexter. Like, there's just no way to describe it other than that. It was wonderful. It was great. But it's like, because like Johnny at one point, like in the beginning, he's like, don't worry, I have Home Alone the crap out of this house.
I pop for Home Alone because I love Home Alone. I don't like the new thing they're doing with Home Alone. Old Home Alone, yeah. Go ahead.
I don't know how new Home Alone's gonna work. Anyway, that's a whole other different conversation. But you have Johnny look at Dexter and go, don't worry, I've Home Alone'd the hell out of this house. And Dexter's like, what? And he's like, I know. But I had help, because it's a big house, so you know, I had help. And then the zombie ref pops up.
Nice tie-in.
It was a great tie-in. So the three of them are watching all of this go down until Mello and Trick find Johnny and Dexter, and they get scared away.
We also had Andre Chase,
who was randomly in the house. I don't know why Andre Chase was randomly in the house, but he was there.
He took kids on a field trip, and then he lost the kids.
Like you do?
He took the class on a field trip.
They were probably all the zombies and the witches and everything. It's like, and here's a random Andre Chase.
Yeah. But yeah, the whole entire thing was well done.
It was well done. It was not as good as last year. Like, they were very clearly trying to recapture that magic that was Dexter Lumis and Cameron Grimes in a haunted house match. But it just wasn't quite the same.
This was more comedy than serious Halloween shenanigans.
Which I'm okay with. I'm fine. Yeah.
The line of the ending of Gargano's like, next year we do the party at the Gargano house.
Dexter's like, okay. Thumbs up.
I'm here for a Gargano and Lumis team going forward.
I like the dynamic, and this is what I was hoping would happen, was that the two of them would become best friends, and you just have the two of them running around together, because Dexter is the perfect straight man for Johnny. Like, 100% the perfect straight man for Johnny. It's Team Hell No 2.0, and I'm so here for it. I am a little... I'm very curious why they've, like, kind of are having Dexter and Indy not be together, though.
Because Indy's focused on other things at the moment.
She went through an entire box of condoms, so now she's good? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, just making sure. Anyway, moving on.
Because she's focused on other things, like going for the NXT Women's Tag Team titles, as it was. Io and Zoe taking on Indy Hartwell and Persia Parada and Toxic Attraction in a scare way to hell ladder match. And when they say scare way, yes, lots of scares, meaning falls. One, Zoe Stark falling off the ladder onto the ground, and there were people catching her, but she kind of landed with her knee pounding into the ground and wasn't good.
Yeah, that was a little bit of a scary fall. Io Shirai landing face first on a ladder.
Yeah, she smacked that ladder.
I think it broke under her, didn't it?
I don't know if it broke. I don't know if it broke or not. It may have, because it might be one of the wooden ladders. But yeah, it was a thing. There was one bad spot. Zoe tried the Phoenix Splash and didn't quite land it. She landed on her feet.
Yeah.
She was... Okay. Of all the things, her feet hit the ground too early, because I think she was afraid of the impact, I think, after the first fall.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's sort of what happened there. But this was a good ladder match. All six women really busted their ass.
Scary moments in this match, for sure, just from the falls and what they were doing, but they all went for this, and they all just... They didn't hold back. I mean, this was really good. It was really entertaining. It was exceptionally physical. It's everything you would want from a ladder match.
It was more extreme than extreme rules.
To say the least.
Because they were not scared to take any of these bumps.
Mm-mm. Absolutely not. So I have to take my hat off to all of these women, because they just busted their asses in this match, figuratively and literally. But in the end, I think in a surprise to no one, your winners and new NXT Women's Tag Team Champions, Toxic Attraction.
Gigi Dolan, JC Jane, they're your new tag team champions. It was the expected move. The Zoe and EO team hasn't come across as they had hoped, it feels like, since they were kind of thrown together last minute because Candace got pregnant. Let's be real. People wonder why they were thrown together and doing this whole thing. It's, hey, we had to take a turn, and that's all we had at the moment. Because other people were being called up to SmackDown and Raw. So we couldn't put the belts on them, so we had to make a team. Okay, cool. Here we got. Go.
Made it work.
Yeah, and we'll talk more about it here in a moment. Ellie and I was supposed to be the host, but Grayson Waller took his place. He was dressed as a vampire.
Dracula, yeah.
Dracula, yeah. He was interrupted by Joe Gacy, who then defeated Malik Blade. You had Harlan show up.
I'm still not sure how I feel about Joe Gacy. I'm still a tad bitter, not gonna lie. Like, I think he's doing his best with it.
He is. He's embracing the role he's given and doing a good job in the role he's given with the limitations that role provides him.
Yeah, and there are some limitations there, so I would be curious to see how they move beyond that. But, I mean, this was fine. It was a nice way to bring Joe Gacy into the show where otherwise he might not make sense in this context. But it worked because you had, you know, Grayson Waller out there introducing the show because he's talking about, you know, scantily clad women and this Halloween party that they're going to have. Then you have Joseph Gacy walk out and talk about, you know, them hypersexualizing women and, you know, being chauvinistic and all this other stuff. So it was a good transition.
Mm-hmm.
This is a good match there. But I almost want to see what they're going to do next with Joe Gacy. Like, what's the point of him?
I think that we don't know yet. And I don't think they know yet.
I don't think they know yet either. Cause you have this follower, devotee, whatever you want to call him, in Harlan, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what are we doing with that? Where are we going with that? You know, what's next there?
Yeah.
And so I'm more curious than anything else. Like, let's see what you do with this, even if I am a tad bitter.
Very bitter. Very, very, very bitter. Because someone's being 1 hour 9 minutes. So you mentioned a Halloween party. We were backstage, and Grayson was there, and Cameron Grimes showed up, and he was doing some bad pickup lines. And what you
really
know,
bad pickup
they
lines.
They were very, really bad pickup lines. But hey, Cameron Grimes' costume, astronaut. Why?
To the moon.
The Diamond Mine had an open challenge. Roderick Strong took on Odyssey Jones and got the win.
Good showing from Odyssey Jones, though.
Yeah. I like that the open challenge was for any person in the Diamond Mine.
I don't think we got to talk about this last week. But I need to say this. Y'all, can we please get the tag team better tights?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Well, them running around. You don't like the generic look?
No, with them wearing the gray singlets with the Diamond Mine logo all over it. Looks like they're wearing their fucking jammies. It does. They look like, and this is, I don't want to like offend anybody, but like they do. They look a little stupid. Like everybody else has really good gear, and then there's these two, and then they look like they're wrestling in the like a onesie or jammies. It's like, can we improve on this situation at all?
Over time, probably. They're right now, they're rookies. They're breaking in, so I would assume over time their gear improves.
So they're baby wrestlers, so they have to wear their onesies?
Yes.
Did they get a bottle?
Maybe.
Or does Roddy just feed them right from the tit?
So we're backstage at the Halloween party. Von Wagner is there, and he was claiming to be Brad Pitt, and Robert Stone got put through a table by Zion Quinn.
He's dressed as Freddie Mercury.
Mm-hmm. And Robert Stone was Elvis?
Robert Stone was Elvis.
Which has become a meme on Twitter.
And it was an interesting party.
Yeah.
You had Lash Legend work in the room.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in terms of like WWE Halloween parties, this was a little tame, but
it got people on the show.
It got people on the show, yeah.
We had the Trick or Street fight for the NXT Women's Championship. Raquel Gonzalez in her bright green outfit taking on Mandy Rose.
And Raquel got herself a little bit of an entrance. She got to ride in on her motorcycle.
Yeah.
Looking all badass.
I enjoyed this match. I thought Mandy had a good showing. I thought Raquel looked pretty solid in this matchup. You can see Mandy's improvement where she's been where on Raw she was getting 3 2-4 minute matches. Here she's allowed to spread her wings and fly a little.
Well, I think what's good for her is she's, as you said, she's not restrained by the character now. Like before she was kind of doing like the Golden Goddess, and then she was doing the Otis offshoot gimmick, whatever that was.
And then she landed on something with Dana that just didn't work.
Yeah. And so it was like they really, really tried, but I think after the butt fumble at WrestleMania, that was sort of like it. So I think here she's much less constrained. She can do more. She can be more. She can kind of figure it out. And you can tell she's extremely comfortable in the character. And she's doing very, very well with it as a result. Because I think it's in some way much closer to who she is as a person than what she was doing prior. Like, I don't think she's like a mean girl or anything like that. I'm just saying that there's something in that character that she's excessively comfortable with, because yeah. She can mix the sexy and the badass, and it works very well for her.
You can tell she's feeling it.
Yeah, she's very into it. And her hard work has been paid off, because in the end, she beats Raquel Gonzalez. I don't think anybody was surprised by this outcome.
But she had a little help.
She did have a little help in the form of Dakota Kai. No shock there. She turned on her partner.
She returned and defeated her partner. She already did the turn. Yeah.
The
hypothetical returned. Right.
There is no hypothetical in that. She came out with that shovel and she smacked Raquel with it.
Right in the back. Knocked her completely out. And she just... It was weird. So Mandy had to celebrate on the ramp and everything like that. And you just see they pan back over and Dakota in the hood is just standing there waiting to get... Can I reveal now? Can I reveal? All right, you can reveal. So it's like, okay, so we learned Dakota's elevator did not go up. It went back down. She's back on NXT, which is good for her.
You need somebody that's really, really experienced, and you need that really strong secondary heel in the women's division that it doesn't necessarily have right now. Like, you have the Toxic Attraction as a group, but you need that solo heel. And Dakota is really, really good at that. And she's completely solid in the ring, so she's really the perfect person to be working with sort of the younger up-and-coming talent. Until they're ready for her to move, if they're ready for her to move, because it could be that they had her on Raw and SmackDown and they're like, yeah, no, this isn't going to work. And so they sent her back down, or they decided that there wasn't just room for her because there really isn't. And they could use her better on NXT. But either way, I'm happy Dakota's back. Happy they're going to continue the feud between her and Raquel, and they can continue that because that will give Raquel something to do. And Mandy can go on and be women's champion, and you know, Toxic Attraction now has all the gold.
They have all the gold in the women's division. We have more gold to talk about. The NXT Tag Team titles were on the line. MSK, Imperium, in a ladder match. In a lumberjack match, I should say. In a lumberjack match.
Okay, so was there a lumberjack dressed as Bray Wyatt? I'm serious.
I don't think so. LeMann, she's back on NXT. That's her official designation right now.
They might move her up at some point, but not right now. Like, they're just resettling the rosters. And so I think everybody that they took for NXT that didn't fit on the rosters is going to gradually come back down, which it could be that Dakota's the only one.
Yeah, she is the only one because everyone else went up.
Yeah. So they just brought Dakota back because I don't think there was room for her. And they need her down there.
I'd rather her being back down than on the elevator, not going anywhere forever.
Yeah, agreed. I don't want her to get lost. Mm-hmm. Let's not lose the Dakota, okay?
Yeah, but anyway, no, I don't think there was a Bray Wyatt in it. It was a lumberjack.
But there was a lumberjack in red and black striped pants, and he had a leather tailcoat on.
It wasn't him. He's in 1 hour and one minute.
I know that, but like I just saw the pants and it was like, wait a minute, because that would be like kind of low, like a low blow to have somebody dressed as the Fiend, you know, 2 to 3 days before Bray Wyatt's supposed to leave free agency or enter free agency.
Just to throw this out there, someone named Joseph Rudd tweeted, every destination has multiple paths. Paths, I should say. So, there's more to the story. Anyway.
Go find your father! He's free!
In 1 hour.
They've already found each other, I'm sure.
That's what I was hinting at with that thing, they're finding each other. So Imperium would end up getting the win and becoming the new tag team champions. A little surprising.
A little surprising, but it's a little not, because I feel like they haven't done a lot with MSK since they've won the tag team titles. Like, they've done some stuff, but I think they feel like they can do more with Imperium, especially since Walter is coming back over to the States.
Is he?
Supposedly, that or he's joining the European tour.
No, he was joining the European tour. He wasn't coming back over.
But I heard he might come back over.
Eventually, one day.
But yeah, he's joining the European tour, so at the very least, you can have Imperium go over with the NXT tag belts and be with Walter if you need them to be. But for now, you have Imperium hold it down, because at some point, you're going to have Imperium crash with the Diamond Mine and a few of the others. And it just kind of helps to reinvigorate the tag division a little bit.
And then your main event, it was Tommaso Ciampa, Braun Breaker for the NXT Championship.
This was good.
It was good.
I think
Go ahead.
Braun needs more work.
Yeah.
But that's to be expected because he's brand spanking new.
He's just breaking in.
But you can see the promise there with him.
The potential is there, yeah.
And so I think you're going to have Braun sort of regroup and we'll see where they go from there. Like, it was a little shocking that they kept it on Tommaso Ciampa because I think a lot of people were expecting it to go to Braun, just the way that they were just pushing him really, really hard.
Yeah, you had Braun kick out a bunch of times of Ciampa's best stuff, so it was like, he's there, he's moving up, he's like, this is where a loss helps because you saw a lot of promise in him. This is not a setback loss.
Yeah, this was something that it's like Braun got a lot of really good offense in, and Tommaso really kind of barely beat him. It's not like he soundly beat him. Tommaso kind of got out of there by the skin of his teeth a little bit. So Braun's going to regroup, and Braun will come for Tommaso again. We'll see when, but it's like, I think they embraced the sort of the groundswell for him. And they went with it. And now it's, where do you go from here? Who do you point him at? You could point him at the North American Championship. You could point him really anywhere. But he's definitely going to be in that top contention moving forward.
I keep him right here with Ciampa. And guess what? You mentioned that European tour. Those two are on it together. Fighting each other. And fighting a third.
Like you do.
The third is Sami Zayn.
I mean, you can't be in the ring with two better people than Sami Zayn and Tommaso Ciampa. Shit.
If you don't think they have high hopes for Braun Breaker, putting them on the road with Ciampa and Sami Zayn for a few days in Europe, yeah. They're breaking him in really good, really fast. He's not long for NXT.
No, they're getting him ready to go, which that's fine. That's what NXT is for, is it's not meant to have people down there. It's meant to elevate them and get them ready and then send them up to the main roster. And with that, I think we're done with the NXTs. Like, overall, it was a good Halloween Havoc. It was a dialed back in some degree Halloween Havoc than what it was last year, which matches the rebrand, but it was still a good show, I felt like. Like, we had some really good quality matches.
Three title matches, four title matches, three title changes. I mean, that's newsworthy to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's great. With some unexpected twists along the way.
Yeah.
So, with that, we're going to take our first and only break of the evening, and when we come back, we're going to be having a little spooky fun. We're going to be rating Halloween candy. We're doing a tier list, guys, so you don't want to miss it. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR Live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
That moment when a debate actually breaks out during the Greater Than Great Debate.
And it's Lauren from Boy Meets World taking on Terrence Winningham, Sister Sister.
I'm going with that homewrecker, Velma, from the Scooby-Doo movies.
Lauren cannot win. She tried to break up the best couple in the world, so she gets eliminated.
No, Lauren's moving on.
No, she's getting eliminated.
Brock, fuck you.
She's getting eliminated. She tried to break them up.
No, it's not her fault, okay?
It is her, totally
if
her
he,
fault.
If he had doubt, then it's on him.
It's her fault.
No, she didn't do anything. She was just there. Corey was the one who took the steps.
She knew what she was doing.
No, she didn't knew anything.
She knew exactly what she was doing.
Okay, this is the Greater Than Great Debate right now, okay? No. Lauren didn't do anything. She didn't pressure him. She didn't put him in any weird situation. She was just there.
Who was the one who left the note?
All she did let him know her feelings. She didn't say, come meet me in my room and bone me.
Do you know what the note actually said? No. Thank you. Get her out of here.
Join us for more Greater Than Great debates, Saturday nights, midnightish Eastern, during CB Radio, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Score, of course, too. Yes! Yes, it happened! Rock is secretly fuming right now.
Mondays. Once Monday Night Raw ends, join us for the Monday Night Raw post show.
Today I have something super serious to talk to you about.
Join us as we break down all the highs, the lows, and all the holy moments that go down every single Monday night.
Exercise!
It's the Raw post show, Monday nights 11 p.m. Eastern.
Do I have your attention now?
Streaming live on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Ha!
Did you know you can use support a creator code ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rock on Wild Talk Radio.
WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is click the little purple button and hit the checkbox at the bottom of the screen. And you can subscribe for free. It's that simple. You can also follow the channel there. You can hang out and chat. You can listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. Why the hell is Goodwill trending on Twitter? Anyway, tweet of the week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place. And I was so bitter. Until I found Twitter, ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Apparently, somebody found $500 in a book from Goodwill.
Nice. That's a great find.
Well, they're trying to figure out where it came from, because I think they're trying to return it to the original owner. But
I have a feeling the original owner put it in there as a nice gesture.
That, or they forgot it was somebody donated the book and the person didn't realize it was in there.
That too. I would hope it was the first thing I said, that it was a nice gesture on someone's part.
Yeah, I hope so, too, because, yeah, there's no way to track that person down.
No, because that's a cool story. Like, you just buy a random book, you got Goodwill, and someone who donated just wanted to change someone's day. And
so, pretty cool stuff. So, this is going to be a little bit lengthy of a thing.
Lindsay's going down a meta road.
Going down a meta road, like you do. So, Dr. Lubo.
It's Lubo, man.
He put out his second channel URL and Pool Shark responds, excuse me, can I be an extended member? Get it?
I think you need to say that the second channel is called Dr. Lupo Extended. Also, Penis
Joke.
Well,
I was trying to plug his stuff on our show.
Also, Penis Joke.
Penis Joke.
I mean, we pretty much clear we promote Dr. Lupo.
Yeah.
We've been doing that for a while. It's youtube.com/DrLupoExtended.
Ding.
There you go.
Phoenix goes, congratulations to me. And it's a picture of a very ripped edge. Renee Paquette, I bought my whole family, dogs included, matching bat costumes. And they've miraculously gone, quote unquote, missing. Expressionless face. Cesaro, I bet whoever did it didn't bat an eye. And she replies with a picture of the Count from Sesame Street.
Nice.
WWE, what? And it's a picture of Bianca holding Sasha up one-handed.
What?
Bailey goes, I hate her.
Yes, she does.
WWE tweets out, you know, Brock Lesnar roughhousing with Charles Robinson at Crown Jewel. Andy Hartwell responds, me at baggage carousel realizing this isn't my bag. Wendy's.
Oh, God.
Changing my name to Meat. And before I go down this road, let me say that Facebook announced that their umbrella company is going to be called Meta. And that was the announcement that dropped today, and this is what sparked from it. So Wendy's is changing their official name to Meat. Meta responds, nice to meet you, at Wendy's.
M-E-A-T.
Meat. And they changed their Twitter name to Meat, by the way. They responded, never Meta face, we couldn't book. Slim Jim responds, this is awkward. We were going with Meta. Responds, into the Metaverse.
Okay.
Arby's chimes in with a face with a monocle, because, you know, they have the meats. Wyatt Arden chimes in, what should McDonald's change their name to? Wendy's goes, Robert. Wyatt goes, Robert's burgers are mediocre, but we'll do in a pinch. Yep, checks out. And Wendy's responds with a laughing face. Cinnamon, hi, Meat. We like the way you roll, dear friend. Wendy's goes, sweet. Harley's for Shizzle responds, so does this mean we're going to get a Cinnabon burger? No. Cinnabon's like, here for it.
I just like the name. What was it? Harley's for what?
Harley's for Shizzle.
Harley's for Shizzle. That.
Or I think it's Harlizzle for Shizzle.
So whatever it is, that's a name.
But it's a great name.
Yeah.
D-Wolfman responds, wait, so does this mean Arby's has you? Should we call someone? And Arby's posts a picture of, you know, winking and pointing. Like, yes, we do. That's all I have.
Oh, okay. There are more.
Yeah, there's a lot more. I just didn't want to grab, like, all of them.
So, someone replied to the Wendy's with, I had it earlier. What was his name? The Simpsons dude. What? Matt, you're here. What was the list we did? Something meme. What the hell was it called? What was the name? I forget.
Mole Man?
Huh?
Mole Man?
No. Troy McClure. That's it. It's Troy McClure. They posted with an I'm Troy McClure gift.
Oh, God.
Wendy's replied, you may remember me from such cheeseburgers as Son of Baconator and Dave's Triple. Let's see. You did that one. Funko. Nice to meet you. Wendy's replied with all hearts on that one. You did that one. Oh, Nationwide. Bummer. Metal Wide doesn't work as a jingle. Wendy's. It must not be on your side. Spotify. Meetify? Dopper paper bag. Is Meet the new meta? Wendy's replied, ready player bun on that one. Someone replied, Cartoon Dave replied, the attitude era of Wendy's is back with a picture of meat. Wendy's replied, from Planet Stasiak.
Oh, God.
Streamlabs replied, thank you, Zuckerberger. Postmates replied, nice to meet you. You may address us as Postmeta. Cameo replied, meet me at our spot. Wendy's replied, bet. Xbox changing our name to X Game. Oh, wait. So I think that's all of them. We got Meetify. We did the Nationwide. Yeah, I think we got all of them there. Because there were a lot. So let's scroll back to the beginning of these tweets. John Gonzalez, Ben Simmons can never go on Twitter again. He needs to throw all his devices into the ocean. Salute to everyone who immediately said he missed. Tim the Tapman, plays 40 out of 40 in the 25K Warzone tournament today. I'm not the best at math, but what I do know is 40 out of 40 equals 1. I'm number 1.
Tim, that's not how math works.
Whips, you did an amazing job spectating. Dr. Lupo, math checks out. Congrats on your win. Lupo also replied to Whips, saying he's been training for this for months based on his YouTube videos. True, everyone is a spectating video. Golden Boy tweets, Golden Boy is co-workers with the King of the Ring. Twitch replied, not to mention, a trombone prodigy.
I mean, these are all facts.
Courage, JD. There's a baby screaming so loud on this flight. I'm about to put Tim the Tapman stream on my iPad for the kid to watch. Would put him to sleep in 2 minutes. Damn. That's harsh. Headlock comic. Sting. Hey, Darby, want to get revenge on MJF tonight? Darby. Yeah, but there's a great sale at Burlington Coat Factory. Can we stop there first? Triple G tweets. I just said clip it, ship, and I will see you on the next one to end my video, and I didn't even know I hadn't done it until I started editing. Dr. Lupo, you're now living rent-free. Let's see. Did that one. Let's refresh so we can give her the Wendy's ones. Because there was a couple of others. We have Paul Domlich. Aaron Rodgers could beat you throwing to his mailman. These are all true. George Wallace. The Falcons defeated the Dolphins, yet a Falcon would never be able to defeat a full-grown Dolphin in the wild. Football is a lie. And Stuart Lawson goes, me and my wife are trying to spice up our sex life. She dressed up as a policewoman last night and told me I was arrested on suspicion of being good in bed. After 2 minutes, all charges were dropped due to lack of evidence. That's what we call Tweet of the Week.
Okay, then. So now...
And now...
Some spooky, spooky fun.
Kind of.
We're gonna rate Halloween candy.
From S tier to D tier. We have a whole giant list. We've got, 50-something candies?
Yep.
So we're gonna go through this as quick as possible and rank them as best as we can. So let's start where you want.
Let's start at number one.
Airheads. BC.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking, because like there's only, at least to me, specific airheads that are really like what I would call good.
Mm-hmm.
I would almost put them in a C.
I'm okay with that. Like you have to be a fan.
Yeah. I haven't had airheads in a long time.
Me neither. But you really have to be a fan to make it work. And I'm not like that Laffy Taffy type fan of things.
See, I love Laffy Taffy, but like airheads, I only liked the blueberry and the mystery one.
Okay.
I never liked really any of the other flavors. Up next, Nerds. I'm going to say Nerds are BC too, because again, it depends on the flavor of Nerds that you get. Like strawberry Nerds are amazing. And yeah, like the Nerds ropes are really good.
Yeah, but the traditional Nerds, I mean, I go C. I'm okay with C.
Yeah.
All right.
I think they're solid.
Yeah. I mean, it's not bad. It's not top tier. All right. Skittles.
Skittles.
I was never a fan.
I would give Skittles a B. I think they're kind of right in the middle. Because I feel like you have to be in the mood for Skittles.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, aside from the citrus ones, some of them just really don't even have any flavor. So...
like, when you look for chocolate candy, that's not my go-to.
Yeah, it's like you really kind of almost, at least for me, you have to have a craving for Skittles. Because in the end, they all taste the same, and they all taste nasty when you burp. I'm just saying.
Okay.
Payday.
Can we throw this a D?
Yeah. Put that bitch in D. Same thing with Junior Mints.
Yeah. I mean, Junior Mints for, I would say a C just because of the Seinfeld reference, but D, yeah, for quality.
Like, I think the best thing about Junior Mints is when you, like, snap them and you get the, like, that's the only redeeming quality for them.
Only redeeming quality, yeah. 35 minutes, everyone. Anyway, next.
Up next, Twizzlers. I'm going to say Twizzlers are a C.
I can go with that. Again, not my thing. Like, I don't like the whole biting into it. I don't know.
You know what's awesome are the ones that they make that you can peel like string cheese.
See, I would enjoy over trying to bite into them.
They make ones that they're like the Twizzlers rope or whatever that you can actually peel the licorice off. Because I'm not a huge licorice person. Like, I don't mind the... because the texture on it's really weird. And I also like the strawberry flavor Twizzlers over the cherry. So, like, it depends on what you have because the cherry just tastes weird. But,
tastes
like
plasticky.
Yeah. They're just... It like, if you get what would be considered, like, fresh, out-of-the-pack Twizzlers,
mm-hmm,
they're really good. If they've sat for, like, a day or two open, they're not so hot.
Okay. So, I'll put it like this. If this was a movie theater candy, they would be probably higher. Halloween candy, they're C.
Yeah. Yeah. I can go with a C. Baby Ruth, we can pop that in D.
Yep. M&M is just going to go S.
I'm not going to fight you on that. Wait. Okay. What flavor M&M? Is it just M&M in general,
in general.
Okay. Yeah. I can go with S.
See,
because there's chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
There's like all the different variations of M&Ms. Like, it's just, there's something for everybody there.
All right. So I was looking through looking for candy earlier. Yes, I bought candy. I have something that's not even on our list, kind of. But, like, right next to me. But, no. So I was looking at, remember the ones that came, the M&Ms that were, like, the mini M&Ms in that, like, canister thing?
Yes.
I was so tempted to buy them. I was so tempted.
Shit, I would have.
I bought a big bag of M&Ms instead. But...
Like, my one, or one of my big pandemic purchases, it wasn't M&M's, but I bought, like, a whole box of, like, Strawberry Nerds.
Nice. Tootsie Roll. Great dance.
I'm gonna set this at a C.
I won't argue.
Because the flavored Tootsie Rolls, I don't know if you've ever had them.
No.
The flavored Tootsie Rolls are actually really good. The regular Tootsie Rolls are just, they're so-so. Like, they're good in a pinch. And, like, if you have, like, one, it's like, oh, yeah, that hits the spot kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the flavored ones are really good.
Okay.
Starburst.
That's A to me.
For me, they have to kind of be in the mood for them. Again, the strawberry.
Yeah.
I really like strawberry flavored candy, in case you
I could not tell. I'm a strawberry cherry person.
So I could see them being a B or an A. I mean, I won't fight you if you want to put it in an A.
S is too high for it, but it's a good A, B kind of thing. Next.
Hershey's. That's an S to me.
Yeah, Hershey's bar, yeah.
Like, anytime you got that on Halloween, especially if you went to the rich people neighborhood and they were giving out the whole fucking bars.
So, I was having a discussion earlier, like, remember how you get, for Halloween candies, they give you the little Hershey bars and then there's the whole pack of different little things, like there's a red label and a yellow label of different, like, Hershey products?
Yeah.
That no one else ate. No one ate. All people would eat were the Hershey little mini bars.
I loved the Crackles.
You did?
Like, I love Crackles.
See, I never like Crackles.
I love, because they're like a Crunch Bar.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty much exactly like a Crunch Bar, except it's thicker. I love those. I could never get into...
I forget what the other one was. I think it was
the Mr. Good Bar.
Yeah.
It was like Hershey's, Mr. Good Bar, and Crackle, and there might have been dark chocolate.
So, while we're talking about Mr. Good Bar, C or D?
I would throw Mr. Good Bar as a D. It's just not my thing.
Okay. Just wanted to, since we were talking about it. All right, what's next?
Jolly Ranchers.
See, to me, they're great. I enjoy me a good Jolly Rancher.
I never really got to eat them as a kid because I had braces.
Ah, see, you were missing out. They now make them, like, because I have them in my hand. Jolly Rancher Chews, their attempt at Starburst. To me, I would say A or B, depending on your preference.
I would put them at a B because I only really liked the watermelon ones.
Watermelon, cherry, strawberry were good. I don't like green apple. I mean, green apple's okay. It's grown on me a little bit. Grape is awful. Anything grape just sucks.
Yeah, grape candy is just not good.
Whoever thought grape candy is a good thing? Yeah, no.
Mm-mm.
Okay, what's next?
Reese's Pieces. These are like an A or a B for me.
This is a peanut butter thing. I'm not a big peanut butter person.
I love Reese's. I love Reese's Pieces. I love Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
So where would you place them?
I would say Reese's Pieces are an A, and Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, especially frozen, are an S.
Okay. This is all preference, because I'm not a peanut butter person.
See, I love peanut butter.
See, I love peanuts. I just don't like peanut butter.
Peanut butter is a textural thing.
Yeah.
And it can't be too... It's like, it can't be too thick, it can't be too thin, it can't be too greasy. I don't like chunky peanut butter. For me, it has to be smooth.
See, when it came to sandwiches as a kid, we weren't peanut butter and jelly people. We were cheese and stuff like that.
I was never a peanut butter and jelly person. I was always a peanut butter person. Like, I will eat the shit out of a peanut butter sandwich. But, like, I don't like jelly with my peanut butter, actually.
Okay.
I'm weird like that. Crunch Bar. I think that's a B.
Yeah. To me, that's an A or B, yeah. I like a Nestle's Crunch Bar. It's weird. That's, like, the one, like, crunch thing I enjoy, really, of it. I go with B.
100 grand or, like, A or S to me.
Yeah, whichever one. Again, that's not my preference, but what do you like? Where would you put it? Because I can't argue it.
I would put it as an S, just because I love 100 grands. I think they're so yummy.
That's fine. I can't argue it. Butterfinger, I can't argue because I don't like, peanut butter.
Butterfingers. Butterfingers are so good.
So S?
Yeah, I would say Snickers and Butterfingers, they're like the god tier.
Again, that's all preference stuff. To me, I'm more traditional, just straight chocolate and sweet candy. I don't get into the, like, you know, mixture type things.
It took me a long time to like Snickers bars. Like, I never used to like Snickers as a kid. I've only gotten to like it as an adult.
Okay.
Kit Kats.
B or C?
B or C. Like, Kit Kats are...
Cardinals were intercepted in the end zone.
Oops.
Anyway, Kit Kats. Again, it's a preference thing. C or B?
I would say it's a C to me.
Okay.
Like, Kit Kats are good, but, you know, they're not B.
Okay. Are Twix B?
No.
Are they C?
Yes.
Okay.
Like, Twixes are good, but again, that's a you have to be in the mood to have a Twix kind of thing. Because they're a little weird.
Yeah.
But they have a great marketing campaign.
They do. Dum Dum Lollipops. They're A or S.
I can go with that.
I'm going to put them in S, just because they're awesome.
Like a root beer Dum Dum? Yes.
They're the best. They're not like, you have lollipops that are really big, right? But these are just like the perfect size.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. It's like Dum Dums are just the right amount of a lollipop that you just need, because you could get the really, really massive ones that took you 3 days to eat because they were like a jawbreaker on a stick.
Yeah. Or it's not, it's too much for a 3-year-old or almost 3-year-old. They go, here, I'm done, and hand you the lollipop.
Yeah, then you're like, what am I supposed to do with
what
this?
What am I supposed to do? Are you done with it? Yes. True story. I had that happen 3 days ago.
Oh,
or not 5 days ago. Whatever it was. True story. Sour Patch Kids.
I never really liked them, so that's on you.
C?
I would say they're a C. I never cared for them. I don't really like sour candy.
All right, what's next?
Candy corn.
Where do we want to put candy corn?
Honestly, it's a C.
I was gonna put a new category, just called ew.
Candy corn isn't awful.
Candy corn's awful.
It's not awful. It doesn't really have a taste. The honey kind of takes over everything, and so you don't really get a lot of taste from it. So it just has this weird flavor to it. Like, at the beginning of fall, like a handful of candy corn is really good. And if you have it sparingly throughout the fall season, is really good, but like a whole bucket of fucking candy corn, no.
I'll give you your C, but I was going to create a category just like ew.
It's not ew. Like, right. Candy corn has its time and its places.
In the trash. Anyway, I know what's next.
Next, we have Three Musketeers. I'm going to say B or C.
I'll give you whatever you want on that one, because it's not my candy.
I never really, like, they were okay. I would say C.
Okay.
Like, they're not my favorite. I'll eat a Three Musketeers if I have to, but, like, they're not my favorite. If there's something else there, I will go for something else.
Yeah. Okay.
Wax Lip. Now, those go in the fucking trash. Because what am I supposed to do with that?
Wear them around. Yeah, I'll put them at D. They're funny. They're great. It's a Halloween thing. It's great. They're terrible, but it's funny.
I never knew what to do with them as a kid. And I don't even think you can get... Do people even get them out anymore?
I don't know.
We'll see.
We'll see. What's next?
Gummy worms! Now, are these the regular gummy worms, or are these the sour?
I found the regular one.
I'm gonna say a C.
Okay.
They're kind of up there with gummy bears.
Mm-hmm.
They're a little hard to eat, but they're not the worst thing in the world.
No, they're not. I don't disagree. Alright, next.
Swedish fish.
Okay. As a side note, like, Swedish fish, I'm not, like, a huge fan of them. But all I know, going in middle school and high school, that was the candy. People would go to the school store, did you buy Swedish fish? Everyone would go and buy Swedish fish. Why? I don't know.
Y'all are weird.
I wouldn't, because they're not my thing, but I know people who would.
I was going to say, I put them at a D, because they were never my thing.
Yeah, I'm not, I'm just giving an antidote. Anyway, next.
Hot tamales!
Take them or leave them.
Yeah, I put them in a D because I never really ate them.
Okay. Smarties.
Oh, God. Those were like, that's hard because essentially it's like you're eating chalk, right?
Yeah, but they're so good.
Yeah, but it's good chalk.
Yeah. It's either an S or an A.
I would put it as an A just because, like, the first few were really good. And then after a while, you're like, oh, fuck, Smarties.
Yeah. Okay.
But if you just needed, like, a quick hit of sugar without it being, like, excessively sweet. Smarties. Mm-hmm. Smarties were your thing. Candied apples.
Eh. It's a Halloween thing. It's a thing, but eh.
I would make them a C or a D just because they're always hard to eat for me. And you get like the caramel all over your face and then you can't get it off your face. And it's just really sort of like difficult.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
Like they're young. Like here's the thing. I love caramel apples where you take the apple and you dip it in the caramel. And you can control the amount of caramel that you get. Versus trying to eat an apple off of a stick.
Yeah, I don't disagree. All right, next.
Or actually, that's technically a candied apple, but candied caramel, whatever.
Well, same difference. Same thing. Same family.
Yeah. Okay, this is a you thing, so I'm going to let you drive this. Dots.
See, this is not my thing. I don't... They were on the list. I like the candy buttons that's coming later. These are dots. I go C.
I never really ate them, so I can agree with C. I can't fight you on that.
I am, because they're not my thing. It's just the typical Halloween candy. Same with Sugar Daddy. I'm not a fan, but...
Yeah, I never liked Sugar Daddies, so...
A D.
Yeah.
Runts.
I don't remember Runts.
I don't either, so I'll put them as a D.
Were they like nerds?
They may have been. Candy necklaces. They're A or B.
I would say A. I can give you A.
Fun Dip.
That's a B.
Yeah, I like, can't... It's Great Little Sugar Rush, but yeah, it's not A tier.
It's messy, and they don't... Like, the stick doesn't last.
Yeah.
Wax bottles. They're a D for me.
Can we go C?
Yeah, I'll give you a C.
I go low end C on that one. Because it, as a thing, it's kind of like, it's a Halloween type thing. They're cool, but they're not great.
I haven't seen them in a long, and I mean a long time. So no. I don't even know if they make them anymore.
Who knows at this point. All right, next one.
I never had bottle caps.
Me neither. So I gotta go C or D. Just because we never had them.
Yeah, I would go D just because I never had it.
Bubble tape, though.
Oh, fuck. See, adult me cringes.
But this is not adult you.
But 13-year-old me is like, bitch, yes.
So
bubble tape. Give me some fucking bubble tape.
So average that out to a B?
Yeah, I'd say a B.
All right, on Lemonheads.
D.
Yeah, because you gotta be into like that type of... thing.
Again, I just don't really like sour candy. It just doesn't do anything for me.
No, any like when you go for like Starburst or anything, it's like the yellow. Oh, it's like the yellow ones. Ew, who wants them?
The lemon Starburst, though, they have like a sweetness to them that it's like it helps. And honestly, the lemon helps to cleanse the palate. Like the lemon and the lime are really good to cleanse the palate because like all the other flavors are so strong.
Yeah, but if you had a pick. Strawberry or cherry or
orange, strawberry all the way
or orange before lemon, all of them before lemon.
Strawberry all the way. I actually have an entire pack of strawberries sitting in my
of course you do
pantry right now.
Of course you do.
They're probably bad because I think they've been in there since the start of the pandemic. But
yeah, I had a thing. Canada says, "Oh, it's good till 2023." I was like, "Cool." The we're going to talk about here in a minute. They're good until 2023.
Ring Pops.
Oh, they were the jam as a kid.
I remember, and this is going to age me and tell everybody exactly how old I am. We had a roller skating rink right in this area. And when I was a kid, that was the thing to be in school was to go to the rink. Like somebody would be having a party or they would be doing an event here because it was like one of the only places you could do like parties out here. Because at the time it wasn't like super developed. And so like that would be the thing is you go to Sparkles because that's what it was called and you'd like get your roller skates and it was all 70s and grimy and nasty, but you get your ring pop and you'd roll around the roller rink with a ring pop and you were like the shit.
Look at my bling. Before bling was a thing.
Yeah, it was like, that's what you do. You'd walk around and be like, look at my ring. You know exactly what you're supposed to do with it, right? Because we're all a bunch of punk-ass kids.
I'm not gonna lie. There are ring pops on the app that I was looking at. I kind of was tempted to buy one, but I chose not to. That's kind of the wormhole I went down today.
Yeah, I always remember getting yelled at for ring pops and push pops by the dentist. And I'm like, but they're so good. He's like, you shouldn't be doing lollipops. I'm like, but ring pops. Their thing and they're awesome.
So A.
Yeah, I would say ring pops are an A.
Yeah. Crybabies.
D. I never had them.
Never liked them. Again, it's a sour thing. The Tootsie Roll Pop.
I would put a Tootsie Pop and a Blow Pop in a solid B.
Okay. I can go with that movement. Again, the reason why Dum Dums are A tier or S tier And these are big size.
My only issue with the blow pop was that to get to the gum in the center, obviously you had to eat the lollipop, and then at some point you could bite through the candy portion, and then like the candy would break into the gum, and then the gum was crunchy, and then the gum would just disintegrate because of all the sugar. So Tootsie Pops, I always remember, how many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop?
A Tootsie
and you'd always imitate the commercial, and you'd like be one, two, three,
crunch.
Bite. And then, like, you know, of course, your mom would have to take you to the dentist because she, like, cracked a molar or something. Not really. But, yeah. So, Tootsie Pops, I'll be.
All right, next.
Push Pops.
I love Push Pops. They're awesome.
I can make them a B or an A. I can get behind that.
I give a, can we go low A on that one?
Yeah, I can go low A. It's been forever since I, like, there's a lot of these that has just been so long since I've had them because you just can't find them anymore.
Yeah.
Like, we used to have, this is what pisses me off, used to have a candy store in this area, and it closed.
See, okay, so we had this one little, small, little, convenience store where you could take your bike to and buy, they had all the candy and stuff. It was great. Anyway.
Like, we have the gas stations and everything, but nobody goes in the gas stations.
But, like, this was, like, a hole-in-the-wall little store.
Like a bodega.
Yeah, or you could just go right to it, to take your bike right down to it. It's like on the side of someone's street. It's just, yeah, it was a time.
It was a time. Candy buttons.
So this list is dangerous. Chat, this list is dangerous.
It made Rock spend money.
If you can't hear me rumbling around, I have candy buttons in my hand at the moment. They're good until 2023.
Don't fucking go bad. They're just dollops of sugar.
They're A or S.
I'm gonna go S, just because you could sit there. The only detractor is obviously the paper that comes off. Like, I'm pretty sure it's toxic for you, but nobody cares.
No one cares. It melts. It disintegrates. It's fine.
But yeah, candy buttons are just, you know, you can sit there and you can pop them off for hours. It's like ASMR. It's wonderful.
What's sad is, so the packaging I have is made by Candy House. It's Candy Buttons Classic. They're classic now.
They're classic. For shame. Rolos.
What?
See, to me, these are like A or S. I love Rolos. I think they're so good.
Whatever you want.
I would say they're at least an A.
I'll give you an A. I can totally give you an A. The penny. Anyone remember getting the penny?
So much hate. So much hate.
Add Robolo. Screw you.
That was always that. It's like, you cheap fucker.
And we'll go that. And yeah, we should. There we go. Add Robolo. No, why are you changing? Delete. Oh, it changed D. Why did it change D? Delete D there. Screw you. Penny. Right there. Screw you. Screw you. And the pennies you put in the bucket. All right, what's next?
Heath bars. I would say these are like an A or a B.
I give you B.
Like, I love Heath bars in specific applications. Like, they're really, really good to me. Like, I have a bag of Halloween candy on my counter right now with Heath bars in it. And I'm completely not ashamed that I've been eating them.
Nothing wrong with it at all.
It also has Whoppers in it, and Whoppers are nasty. Those are like a fucking D.
Well, look what that was, our next topic. Whoppers. D.
It's almost like I planned it.
Right?
Now, Milk Duds. Milk Duds are like an S or an A for me.
I give you whatever you think.
See, for me, they're S, but I'll put them at an A.
Yeah. Milky Way.
Eh.
Yeah, that's my feeling. Eh.
It's kind of like a C for me.
I can give you a C.
Like, again, it's like, if there's something else that's better, I'll pick that over the Milky Way. But if it's just Milky Ways, I'll eat them.
Brent, that's why your opinion is wrong. Brent, that is why your opinion is wrong.
I want you to know where we put the Sour Patch Kids, Brent.
I think you can see them. Say it.
Because, you know, they're nasty. And last but certainly not least, Laffy Taffy. I have to give this a C, but only because of the banana Laffy Taffy. It's the best. All the other Laffy Taffy is crap, but banana Laffy Taffy is really, really, really good. So I'm going to say it's like a solid Z.
Yeah, I'll give you that. I could totally give you that. So yeah, that's our that's our list. Where's the OBS? We gotta fix this. Move that for a second. There. There's the ultimate list. Right there.
There it is. Our opinion on what we feel about candy or Halloween candy and pennies.
And pennies. So someone has a mad though.
What, you disagree with us, Britt? You want to come argue your points?
Do you want to come argue your points? There is a countdown clock of 7 minutes. We can give you the floor for 3, if you want. Say yes or no. We'll bring you on. We'll let you, you know, do the thing.
You want to come fight your corner? Come fight your corner. Let's go.
You want to? You're still at.
Why are you still at work,
sir? Why are you at work?
It's almost 9. Go home.
Go home. Oh, because his class isn't over yet. That's why. His class just ended. That's why he's still at work. I forgot. I thought he would have made it.
Okay, I'm going to say this right now. I had to fight for that C for the candy corn.
Yeah, I did. No, Brant, I wanted to create a category that said ew.
Am I the only person that likes candy corn? Like, for real? Like, candy corn is not bad. There's just better candies than candy corn.
I don't like the candy corn.
Candy corn is good.
It's not my thing. I didn't grow up. Yeah. Anytime we got candy corn, I went to my dad because he's the only one who likes it.
And plus, you can make like an actual piece of corn with it.
Who?
Like, you can stack it.
Who does that?
People.
I've never seen one person stack their candy corn. Unless it was to throw it in the garbage.
Oh, God. Really?
What?
Hold on. Stacked candy corn.
Candy corn is melted plastic that should be used to pave roads rather than ingest.
No! Like, there's whole images of it, of people who made little corns on the cob out of their candy corn.
Okay, great. That's fantastic for them. It's garbage. Candy corn is garbage.
It's not garbage. Like the little pumpkins?
What little pumpkins?
You never had the little candy corn pumpkins?
No.
Or the candy corn with the chocolate?
No.
It's good.
See, now you're creating these alternate realities of candy corn.
There's not alternate realities of candy corn.
Chocolate?
Pumpkin? Yeah, there's candy corn with chocolate in it.
I don't know. I don't know. Brent, do you agree with our S tier at least? Do you like our S tier?
It's called harvest corn. You've never had it?
No.
I'm gonna make you eat it.
Oh, I would like to see you try. She's gonna tie me down and try to feed me it. See, I never had that.
It's good. And then there's little pumpkins too.
Yeah, that's not helping your cause though.
But it's yummy.
Again, it's not helping your cause. Just saying.
Brent!
What? Oh, I just... the comment. Might as well read it to the people.
No, I'm not reading that on air.
No, I'll leave it off air. It's fine.
God, he's so mean.
I'm telling you, we learned this about him.
He's so savage. Jesus Christ.
What candies did he tell us that he liked?
He likes Sour Patch Kids, 100 Grand, Snickers.
Was that all he said the other night? Yeah.
I think there's one other one.
There was one other one.
Candy corn.
Skittles and Smarties. At least we put the Smarties up there for him.
Well, I mean, the Skittles didn't do bad.
No, I mean, they're fine.
I'm trying to stall for time so that way we can announce that somebody is free on air, so.
Free at last. Thank God Almighty. Free at last.
Like, I'm sitting here watching his Twitter, honestly, as we're talking about this, waiting to see if he, like.
Actually says something.
Drop something, because if he's in Hollywood, he's on the West Coast, so he may wait till Pacific, but we'll see.
Yeah, so for those wondering what we're doing for the last minute or two of the show before we wrap it up, because
we are
stalling, and you can use credit code Rock and Sock in the Fortnite item shop or and Lindsay Moore hashtag Epic Partner. Why? What's in the item shop, Lindsay?
Shadow Midas.
So spend your V-Bucks wisely, because Midas is back in the item shop.
I will say that, like, I'm a little disappointed that he doesn't have a back bling mm-hmm. or a pickaxe.
Yeah, I was expecting at least a pickaxe for that cost.
Like, I kind of expected a little bit more out of that, but it's fine.
Just use the codes, because we're hashtag Epic Partners.
And, like, Okay, you know what? I'm going to rant on this because I can and it's my show. F this headshot with a, what is it?
Sideways rifle? Yeah.
F that challenge. F it so hard. Epic, what are you doing?
It would be great. The challenge is very easy.
If you can get the gun.
That's where I was going. If you can get the gun.
You can't get the gun. You can't craft it.
A week ago, you can find that gun anywhere. Anywhere. Anytime you go into the sideways, you can get the gun. Now all you get is a scythe. And who needs that?
Yeah, it's like, if you're gonna, and I understand that, like, you have a whole rest of the season to do it, but it's really frustrating. Like, it's a really annoying challenge at the moment, because, like, everybody's going to the sideways to get the scythe.
To get the rifle.
To get the scythe.
That too, yeah. But that's all that pops out right now. Like, you have to go into the other one to get it, it seems like. But then, like, by the time you get the rifle, it gets closer to endgame, so you really can't get the headshot you're looking for because people are running at you with, you know, a fast-firing AR or a shotgun. Your slow-moving, sideways rifle isn't the best for, you know, fighting. By the way, Lindsay, what is it? What time is it?
He's free! Free agency has begun for Mr. Wyndham Rotunda, so we will see where he goes from here.
We will.
Because we don't know. Nobody knows.
He may be going Hollywood, he may be crossing the line into Impact, or going all Elite. Who knows? Who knows what's next for at Wyndham 6?
But he's been out and about in Hollywood, so we'll see what he's up to.
We'll see what he's up to. But I think that does it for us.
I think that does it for us for two. What do you say you do the plugs?
So, Saturday night, midnight-ish, it's another edition of Sea Burrito. SeaBurritoLive.com, GreaterThanGreatDebate.com. Sunday night, it's another edition of WTR Sunday Night. We're going to talk about Ring of Honor. We're going to talk... going to have a fun game planned. And we're the all-time greatest. It's Wrestle Talk Radio, WTR Sunday Night. Sunday's 10 p.m. Eastern. Monday night, we'll be back for the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. Programming notes, if you missed WTR last Sunday, the archive is fully available. There was no post show because they were doing maintenance on my internet. That they didn't tell anyone about. But hey, they were doing maintenance. We'll be back next Thursday night for another edition of The Rack. It's The Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms and wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that's Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, wherever, whatever it may be. If you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. You support the channel by clicking on the purple rectangle on the screen. You can also use carry code ROCKETSTOCK or...
Linz M. Ward.
In the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store. Why?
Because we are hashtag Epic Partners. And you can follow me on most of the social medias at Linz Ward, LNSWRD. And don't forget to check out our very fine sponsor, MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211.
Before we wrap it up, I got one little plug to go. Check out Headlock Comics on Twitter. Michael Kingston, former guest of the show, he has another Kickstarter running. Go check it out.
Yes, please go support his Kickstarter.
Yeah, because he's been posting about it. If you buy one of the physical things, you'll get like 4 past the next person, so it may have already happened. But go support his Kickstarter. He puts out some great work, and it'll help support all the indie talent out there because they help work on it with him.
Yeah. Please go support the Kickstarter. He does a lot, and this is all done by him and the indie talents. But he's the one that's like working a day job and driving to conventions and getting it written and getting it produced and doing all the things. So yeah, please support Mr. Kingston because he's amazing. And he posts fabulous food pictures too.
So it's at Headlock Comics on Twitter.
So, all right. Don't forget to check out our very fine sponsor, MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. Speaking of awesome work, we love you, Matt. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, the Halloween Spooktacular, and we will see you next week. Till then, bye. We'll be right back.
Wild Talk Radio Network.